This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have attorney David Gibbs III back with us on the program today. David is president and general counsel of the National Center for Life and Liberty. He's an accomplished trial attorney, and he has authored 5 books, including Understanding the Constitution. David is the lead defense attorney for Rowan County, North Carolina, a county whose public invocation policy is being challenged in court by the American Civil Liberties Union, or the ACLU. The case has made it all the way up to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which recently heard oral arguments. And we'll be talking today with David about the Rowan County case, how the oral arguments went, and when we can expect a decision from the Fourth Circuit. David, thanks so much for being back with us on Family Policy Matters.
Oh, I'm honored to do it and appreciate your voice and your leadership and the great work you do throughout the state and the region.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the work that you do standing up for religious liberty and other important issues across our nation. Now, David, for those who may not be familiar with the Rowan County case, tell us briefly about the county's longstanding public invocation policy, which has been a target of the ACLU even before this lawsuit was filed.
Rowan County has, as far back as they can remember, 70-plus years in their archives, but even before then, has had a moment at the beginning of their meetings where they allow commissioners to solemnize the beginning of their meeting. They can do this with a moment of silence, they can do this with a word of prayer, they can do this with a recitation, but it's that invocation, that beginning policy moment that has been challenged by the ACLU, and what they did is they initiated litigation against the county, and the county has been defending its policy. But the policy is similar to what other counties do across the state. It's something that has historically been part of government meetings in the United States of America, really since the founding of our country. But the ACLU's targeting of it has really focused on the fact that, in their opinion, it's just too Christian. There's too many mentions of Jesus. And they have been really harassing and attempting to bully the county for many years now.
Well, the ACLU filed this lawsuit against Rowan County and their prayer policy back in March 2013, and the case is known as Lund v. Rowan County. Why do you think that the ACLU feels inclined to go after counties like Rowan and other municipalities and government agencies who open their meetings with a word of prayer?
Well, I can tell you what the ACLU says. The attorneys, and they have very good attorneys on their side, and North Carolina ACLU is based there in Raleigh. But what they are saying is basically they believe it's unconstitutional for really any type of religious reference. But they're in particular, at the filing of this case, it really focused on prayers in the name of Jesus. That when you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, that you're creating some difficulty. And just so folks understand, from a legal perspective, there's really 3 models that kind of open government meetings, okay? Model number 1 is you have a chaplain. This is the same person that does it all the time. Model number 2, you invite outside guests, and these would be pastors, ministers, clergy from the region come in. Or model number 3 is you have the commissioners or the elected officials themselves doing the invocations or the opening prayers. And Rowan County uses that number 3 model, but the ACLU was taking the position that that particular model is a problem, as well as the fact that it was just too overtly pro-Jesus in the statements that were being made by various commissioners.
It's interesting, and it's interesting to compare that with, for example, the North Carolina State Legislature, that in the North Carolina Senate, there is a chaplain who typically prays on a daily basis to open sessions in prayer, quite often ending those prayers in Jesus' name. And then in the House, there has been a history recently of members of the chamber actually being invited to pray, and those prayers may vary quite a bit because of the makeup of the House, but those represent really 2 of the different models that you've talked about, and I have not seen the ACLU attempt to sue the state legislature yet. I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if they attempted to do that in the future, but to date, they have not pursued the members of the General Assembly.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Number 1, the ACLU is very smart, and so they're targeting an individual county with the hopes that they won't have the resources or the ability to stand. That's where like organizations like ours come in and provide a pro bono legal representation or are able to give them a defense that they might not otherwise be able to afford or budget. But also, I think what the ACLU is hoping is to get a win at this level and then go to the North Carolina legislature and say you'll have to change your policy. So there's a lot of strategy involved in these kind of things, and the ACLU is very good at looking for what they would call the low-hanging fruit or the places where they think they might be able to get a victory and then force it on, for example, the legislature or even the United States Congress.
And for exactly that reason, we're so appreciative that you are where you are and that you're able to step in. And oftentimes, I know, in a pro bono fashion, represent cities, counties, municipalities, other clients so that the ACLU can't just take advantage of a county that may not have a significant budget and would just relent as opposed to standing firm as Rowan County has done in this case. So we're really grateful for you being there. Now, David, this has been a 4 or 5 year legal battle for the Rowan County Commission. Before we talk about specifically the Fourth Circuit hearing in this case, tell us a little bit about how the lower courts ruled and how did it get up to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals?
Well, it's sort of interesting because Rowan County had a pending case before the trial court in North Carolina, Judge Beatty. And Judge Beatty was selected, we believe, by the ACLU because he's never really ruled in favor of a prayer policy. So they had a judge that they felt would be, friendly to their argument. And so the case was pending before Judge Beatty. And then actually the United States Supreme Court took a prayer case. So on behalf of Rowan County and a number of other governmental agencies that we were involved with, we actually went up to the Supreme Court as amicus and argued there that these prayer policies should be upheld. And that was a case where the Supreme Court upheld that model of the outside ministers and laid down a number of rules and guidelines that many perceived to be very pro-prayer, pro-history. It was a very good ruling from the United States Supreme Court. So we were hopeful, actually, that the court in North Carolina would look at the U.S. Supreme Court ruling and dismiss the case. Unfortunately, he did not. He looked at it and said, well, I see some, I'm using my language here, some loopholes, and found some ways to say we still think the policy in Rowan County is a problem. And so he ruled against the county. And at that point, the county had to make a tough decision. There had been some elections, some new officials, but they voted unanimously to appeal to the Fourth Circuit. And the importance of this case, John, is this is now the first case after the United States Supreme Court ruling in the Town of Greece decision to really interpret that ruling and to implement it in a real-world way. And so it's very important to see if the ACLU will be successful in trying to narrow the impact of that ruling. Or what we're hoping for and certainly arguing for before the Fourth Circuit is the ability of that case to be read exactly as it says and that these policies should be constitutional and upheld. So this is now sort of the first case after the Supreme Court ruling, and so it will have a huge shadow effect across the nation as other courts will see how the Fourth Circuit handles it.
Very interesting. Now, David, as we mentioned earlier, the Fourth Circuit heard oral arguments in the Rowan County prayer case on January the 27th. Considering the distinctions between, as you mentioned, the Town of Greece case and this case, what question is really pending before the Fourth Circuit? I mean, what is the issue that they are considering?
Well, the ACLU radically changed their arguments because their original arguments that the name Jesus was unconstitutional had already been struck down by the Supreme Court. So what they sort of flipped to was, well, you may have the right to pray, but you're doing it in too much of a proselytizing manner. You're doing it in some way that you're putting pressure on the people in attendance. And so they really took a shift in strategy. And instead of arguing that you cannot pray, they sort of argued that you're doing it with too much coercion. And that was sort of probably the focal point. You know, you're asking people to stand up, or you're asking people to, bow their heads, or you're doing things in some way that we believe is coercive, where you're forcing these adults in attendance to participate in the prayer. So the argument took a fairly radical shift. And again, the ACLU has good attorneys, and they're reading what the Supreme Court said. And so they're trying to find a way to say, while the Supreme Court said prayers may be allowable, you're doing it the wrong way. And that's really what the Fourth Circuit focus was upon. Now, so folks understand, the Fourth Circuit covers the Carolinas, Virginia, and Maryland. It's underneath the United States Supreme Court. It's a very powerful court. And you draw three judges, and you don't really know the judges you get till the day you're there. And so there was a lot of prayer that went into that we would receive judges that, from our opinion, would be fair-minded towards the case. We drew a good panel. The three of them asked a lot of good and poignant questions of both sides. But we're very optimistic that in light of the Supreme Court ruling, in light of the arguments that were made, in light of what Rowan County has done, that we're expecting a favorable ruling out of the Fourth Circuit, and would certainly ask the listeners to be praying towards that end. Our expectation would be probably by the summer that we should be getting a ruling from the Fourth Circuit, and then at that point, decisions would be made if it's in favor of Rowan County. We would be pleased with the victory, and the ACLU would have to decide whether they choose to appeal. You have two appeal routes. These are both discretionary. One would be to the full Fourth Circuit. You could ask for all the judges of the court to hear your arguments, or you could appeal to the United States Supreme Court if Rowan County is denied what we believe is their right to open their meetings as they deem best. Then we would have to evaluate whether to appeal, and the county would have to make that determination. But everybody has got their eyes on the Fourth Circuit, and then they're going to read the ruling, you know, because the court will give a written basis for their decision. And so that will let everyone then see how this court, the first appeals court, to look at this prayer issue since the Supreme Court ruling, how they interpret it, and if they're going to take a real strong position on what can or can't be done, or whether they take what we believe the Supreme Court intended, a very open and a freedom-oriented position that elected officials do have the ability to pray or open the meetings according to their faith. And one thing, John, I just want to mention, the accountability in a system like that is tied to the voters. I mean, if people elect a Muslim, or if they elect an atheist, or if they elect a Christian, the commissioners are praying according to their tradition. And so it's really very much a voter-oriented approach. Let the people decide who they want to be their elected officials. Let those elected officials then proceed to open meetings as they deem best. And we also need to remember we're all adults. I mean, if somebody says, you know what, I'm just really offended by any prayer whatsoever, they can certainly step outside. They can cover their ears. They don't have to listen. I mean, I think we need to recognize in a diverse, pluralistic society, there's always going to be differing viewpoints. And sometimes everybody needs to grow up just a little bit, and let's all be adults in the room and be willing to accept the divergent viewpoints. So our hope, again, is that the Fourth Circuit will rule positively and defend the actions of Rowan County and uphold them as constitutional.
Well, we certainly hope and pray the same. Now, David, as we close, for our listeners, what can they do to support your efforts, to support your work, and to support Rowan County in this very, very important defense?
Well, John, I appreciate you asking that question. We are a nonprofit organization. We are doing the Rowan County case pro bono, which is fancy legal words for free. We're not charging them. And so in that, if folks would certainly pray, and if they can financially support, we're very grateful. Our website is ncll.org, and they can connect with us and receive information updates. And again, we are honored to serve churches throughout North Carolina, Christian families, the rights to train and educate children. We stand with government officials. We work with leaders in Raleigh. We're certainly grateful for your excellent work, your voice, your leadership, the difference you're making. And we're just honored to you all have your arms up in the air and like Moses. And if we can prop a little bit and be a legal help, we're certainly honored to do it.
And with that, David Gibbs III, I want to thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this case. Thank you so much for your great work. And we're going to continue to pray for your success, that the Lord would bless you and bless the results as this case moves along.
John, thank you for your prayers, your friendship, and your support. And thank you for your voice and your leadership.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.